Welcome to the Menstruation to Motherhood podcast. My name is Kathy Ann Ellison. I am the resident fertility coach here, and I help women to choose themselves first, stand in their feminine power in order to stop making their fertility issues mean something about them. If that's you, keep listening. This is the place you want to come to if you are a woman who is ready to feel empowered and unapologetically choose yourself first. You're done with letting society tell you what you should do and who you should be. You're ready to set, maintain, and own your boundaries in order to protect your mental health and your peace of mind. You're ready to show up at home and at work as your most empowered self. So let's get into the episode today. Welcome, womb friends. Today's episode of the Menstruation to Motherhood podcast, we have a wonderful guest with us. Her name is Corinne Conrad Calder. She is a women's transformational coach certified by the Academy of Soul-Based Coaching. She is a feminine embodiment guide and menstrual cycle educator. She's helped women create a magical and meaningful life in alignment with what they desire. Corinne can be described as a soulful coach who weaves feminine embodiment and women's wisdom teaching. Through her gentle and respectful guidance, many women have come to understand themselves, the feminine, and their heartfelt desires better, leading them to live a life of integrity and fulfillment. Corinne has transformed herself and her life many times by honoring her longings. After years of trying to conceive a child with her husband, she has come to embrace the joys of a child-free life on a small island in Hong Kong, together with their quirky dog, Rio. So I want to thank Corinne for agreeing to come and be a guest today to share with you parts of her journey and just how she came to her decision and her choice in being child-free, and then how she's helped others out there in following their journeys and being able to just stand up and choose themselves and connect with their feminine embodiment. Corinne?
Kathy Ann, it's a joy to be here today. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. Thank you. So the work that you're doing now that has led you to, because let's go back a little bit and let the view, the audience who are listening, just understand how we connected. I think that would be helpful.
Exactly, yeah.
So one of my friends sent me a post on Instagram that talked about someone saying F infertility. And I read the post and I made a response on the post, because in the work that I do and the women that I work with, and also based on my journey, I do not use the word infertility. I use the word fertile or fertility, because we're all fertile and we all can produce something. And it just doesn't necessarily have to be a baby. And that's one of the things that I've come across in our society, is where women feel, because I'm feminine, I'm a woman, I have a womb, I have a period, I'm supposed to be a mother. And not every woman is destined to be a mother. That's not every woman's desire. It's mine. You know, it was part of Corinne's journey in the beginning, but now she's child-free. So we're here to help you just tap into yourself, tap into your desires and your needs and what you want and how you want to live your life, and not just sit back and allow someone else or allow society to tell you this is the way you should do it. And then you're unhappy and you have resentment and you're not following your path. So I made a comment on that post about the fact that I don't use the word infertility. And that's how Corinne and I connected. And I invited her to come and share with you her journey and her work, so that you also can listen from someone who's experienced, you know, the journey of trying and trying and not being successful in birthing and having her own physical baby. But she's birthed and created so much more than just that. So that's how we connected. And She's also a doula, for those of you who are listening, and she works with, you know, women who are bringing new life into this world. So what kind of programs are you doing now? What are you working on with women besides a doula?
Well, okay, so at the moment, I'm crafting a group coaching program for women who want to, you know, who are in a place where they want to find magic and meaning beyond motherhood and kind of really explore, okay, what are the joys in a child-free life? And is it, do I really want to pursue motherhood or not? Yeah. And that is really, it's designed for women who are either ambivalent, but not like, I think a lot of women are a little bit ambivalent, right? And definitely, you know, when I work with my doula clients, once they're pregnant and it's coming towards birth, it's normal that you have, you know, with the first baby, like, yeah, but I'm talking kind of more deeper ambivalence, like kind of like really, yeah, maybe you want the family, but maybe you don't see yourself in actually the day-to-day role of, you know, becoming a mother. So there's women out there like that. Then there's women who know they don't want to have children, but they haven't really found that place of magic and meaning in their life in other ways, you know? And sometimes, you know, these can be women who are in their 30s going towards 40. And then what can happen is like that question of, well, maybe I should have a child because it will give my life more purpose. Yeah. So they can be that. Or then there are women like me, you know, who have been trying to conceive maybe for many years, and they're coming up to this question of, okay, we have a lot of options these days, depending, you know, where you live, obviously. But there's much more options these days than to women like 100 years ago, right?
Right.
And again, my what I really want to inspire women is that even with all these options, to really come back to themselves and drop in and really discern what do they want to use of that? Which path do they want to go down with that? And what isn't for them? Yeah. And that has been a place for me where I've, you know, have was in again and again over many years, you know, discerning, well, what is mine and what am I not, what is not mine? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I do that. So I'm crafting the program, and one-on-one, I'm already working with obviously women on that through the soul-based coaching. And yeah, getting women to understand, as you said in the beginning, and I think that's such an important piece, that to be told the full story, that yes, you have a womb, and yes, you can procreate, but you can also use your creative energy to create businesses, social movements, beautiful marriages, you know, having a family maybe with animals instead of children, you know, like you can craft and create a life with that, a creative energy that you've been given in alignment with, what is really true to you. And that's the story we are not really told when we enter menarche, right?
Yeah.
And that we can nurture in and care. I call it actually mothering. You can mother in other ways beyond mothering physical children. And I think women, this is often a piece, even with women who I know are actually child-free and at peace with that, they kind of have never really looked, they often haven't looked at it in that way, that they are creative beings and they can mother just using that energy not towards children or not as a mother with children and in other ways, you know. And that's very empowering once you can start to own that, to understand it and own it. You know, that's where I see a huge shift in women. And I think it has really helped me on my journey to own my story and to be at peace now with how my life is. Yeah.
Yes. It's so important to feel like you're at peace with the decision and the choice, because I wanted to make sure and feel like I was at peace when I, you know, started thinking about having children. And the reason why I felt within myself that I needed to feel at peace and like this was a decision for me was because of what I saw around me, the women around me, the women in my family, you know, and seeing and just observing as a young woman, their connection to motherhood, you know, their birthing into motherhood, you know, specifically, and just seeing and listening, you know, to the stories and the situations, and seeing a lot of like my cousins, my mom, and no one married, raising single, you know, being single parents, solo parents, and raising mm-hmm. the children that they have created, and there's no male in the picture on a consistent basis, you know, just being around that. And I know I've shared with you about a little bit about my birth story in the sense that I was the result of my mom's first sexual experience. And the fact that young women in her era growing up, as soon as they, like you say, reached menarche and they started to menstruate and have that first period, they were being told, oh, now you're gonna go out there and get pregnant. You know, they're not being educated and they're not being shown, okay, this is a process and a way that you can address the things that are gonna come up now that you're having this change in your body. You know, they're just being told, oh, now that you're gonna go out and get pregnant. And that was my mom's path. That was her journey. You know, I'm the result of that. And my parents were never married. My mom was young. She was a teenager when she had me. And even though my father was older than her and he had plans and wanted us to be a family and live a life a certain way and relocate to a whole other country, she was too young to understand that and see that far ahead. So she never bought into it. She never, you know, grasped it. She didn't feel like she was connected to him in that way. So he took care of me, you know. I wasn't deserted financially in any way, but I didn't grow up with my father in my environment. Mm-hmm. So I think of that experience. And then I also see other women and cousins and aunts who had children and the man wasn't there consistently every day. You know, they were connected, they took care of the child, but he wasn't there. And I wanted something different. And I wanted to make sure that this was a choice that I was making and I didn't feel like I was coerced into it. And I was, you know, tricked into it in any way. You know, I didn't want to have a child and not be able to fully take responsibility for that child. So I made sure that I was sure. And I also know I mentioned to you that in my head, because I was so gung-ho on I needed to go to school, I needed to have a career, I needed to be able to set things up financially in order to be able to take care of a child and not have a be stressed out and then stress out a child. So in my head, I felt like I wouldn't be able to have a child until I was 40. Mm-hmm. You know, I was in a relationship and all of that, and I was in school. I felt like I wasn't going to be able to have that first child until 40. I had my daughter at 37, but in my head, I just felt like it wasn't going to be an early thing for me. So I share this to say that, you know, if you're listening to this, I want you to make sure, I want you to tap into yourself. For me, I call it intuition. You heard Corinne call it dropping in, you know, to your body and just connecting and feeling if this is really for you or not. Do you want to birth a child or do you really want to birth something else? Do you want to birth a marriage like Corinne mentioned? Do you want to birth a business? Do you want to birth a movement? What is it that you want to create and birth and, you know, follow through with in this lifetime?
That's so beautiful. Yeah. And you know what I like when, as you shared this story with me last time and how you shared it again now, I think it's so important to know our story around this topic. Mm-hmm. You know, like you really go back in time, as you say, and go back to that moment of when you were in puberty and you started to grow into this woman and you mm-hmm. had your first menarche. What happened? What imprints were made, you know, by the mothers, or not just the mothers, but the aunties and the kind of society, the culture that was closest to you, right? Mm-hmm. And then from there, how did that shape certain decisions that you then made,
right?
You know, mm-hmm. because when we spoke about that, I remember and you know how it for me, it was like my mom, when I had my menarche around 10 and a half, which is young, you know, starting to have first boobs growing. And I was just, and all he kind of said, like, and I know this comes from a place of obviously love. So now you could get pregnant. So you have to be careful.
Wow.
Yeah. And me being someone also like, I wanted to leave the small village where I grew up. I wanted to see the world. I wanted to travel. Like the last thing that I wanted was to fall pregnant with a child. And, you know, so in my system, it was about like that, you know, oh my God, I have to be very careful. I really don't want to become pregnant. I was growing up with a neighbor who had this beautiful like relationship, just she and her husband. Like at the time, I didn't know that they were trying to have a child. I was just this, it was that neighbor where I spent a lot of time. My parents had a business, three kids. So I was often with that neighbor and with this couple who I saw having such a beautiful relationship. And I remember saying at the time, and my mother said that, she said, yeah, you said, you know, you only gonna get married after you traveled with your husband for 1 year to really make sure this is the right thing. And, you know, that's kind of my early imprint. And I loved, I loved the quality of relationship they had and kind of probably that was a model there. I had a strong imprint, you know, looking back. And yeah, then I did my apprenticeship in a travel agency and I began to travel and I was very careful not to, you know,
get pregnant
to the extent of maybe being a bit unhealthy because I couldn't really let myself go in that until later on, you know, in my 20s. Yeah. And then I had a burnout around 27. And I think that that shaped again, that was another experience that made me realize, okay, if I'm a mother, I need to be in a place, I want to be resourced, you know, I want to make sure there, I was not going to be a super mom, like having a full-time career and having a child and having a, like, that's not, that was just not what I was longing for. I knew I needed to set up this in a way that it would work for me as much as for the family and the child. So there's all, so we have a story. We all have a story.
Yes, we do.
So going back in time, I think it's really important to see, well, what have you picked up that's actually not yours? What have you created out of that? What and what is true for you today?
Yes.
Today, as this woman that you are, what's true for you today? And that takes some soul searching and his story searching. It takes a bit of time, you know?
It sure does. It sure does. And that's why within my coaching process, I have my clients and my students write their birth story, write their menstruation story, and then work on mastering all of the mind mess that shows up around, you know, that information. And a lot of times they have to go speak to, you know, someone else in their family to get information around, you know, their birth story. So that's, I think that's so important because you want to connect and see how things that happened even before you were born, how that's impacting your decisions and your choices now as it connects to your menstruation story. So I try, you know, I work on getting my clients to connect to that and see how there's a thread, you know, of connection all the way through that they probably wouldn't have paid attention to if they hadn't done the exercise of writing their birth story, their menstruation story, and then mastering and managing all the stuff that comes up out of out of that information.
Yeah, it's because it's a very important piece, a very important piece. And and I think that's the piece also that can eventually then bring peace, no matter what you decide. Yeah, but there's like a sense of wholeness that comes by doing these practices, which, yeah, totally.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's ultimately for me, ultimately about freedom. And being free to make your own choices and decisions when it comes to your body and your path. Because you only you know what you like and what you want and what you desire. You know, no one else knows that for you. You might connect with other people who might help facilitate your process and help you to get there faster, you know, teach you things that they've learned and they've gone through, but only you know, your true desire of what you really want. And a lot of women are not standing up and choosing themselves first and putting mm-hmm. their desires for, you know, in the front mm-hmm. in order to move in that direction. They're still worried about what somebody else thinks and what that person might say, you know, and it's detrimental.
Mm.
It's detrimental to their peace, I feel.
Yeah.
Because if I hadn't decided to do what I needed to do for me and put things in place in order to be able to have my children and push forth and stay persistent and be patient in the process with my fertility journey, I would not have had my children today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's the other side, right? It could go that way based on a lot of fear that you may carry.
Mm-hmm.
That you then don't choose motherhood,
right?
Although this is actually what you deeply, deeply desire. Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
I think we're also listening to you and, you know, seeing the parallels of our work. I think it's what we do is we do both. We educate, right? Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we allow them to drop in words and come to this place where they then start to make decisions from a place from within, but also from a place where they have been empowered with new knowledge. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's like with birth sometimes, you know, we call this informed decision making. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think about how you want to give birth, who you want to give birth with, where you want to give birth,
mm-hmm.
What are all the ways of how you can give birth?
Right.
This is all about learning around, mm-hmm. like, gain more knowledge. And mm-hmm. then with all of that, what is it that you would like to have happen now? Yeah.
Right.
Because that's what we then do in Soulbase coaching, this methodology, and the way I coach, I just mm-hmm. help them to drop into their desired outcome. What is mm-hmm. your desired outcome?
Right.
And then we, you know, from there, the journey starts. It goes inwards before it goes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah. I know when we spoke last, I also shared with you about, even though I felt like I was supposed to be a mother and I was going to have children, I got to a place at one point where, after ending a 9-year relationship, I got to a place where I felt like if I don't ever have children, I'm okay. And if I find and meet someone and I have children, I'm okay as well. So I was content in that space to go either way and not force one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Just allow it to flow and allow it to be.
Yeah, and that is a beautiful place, I think, to come to. But you don't know when you come to that place, right? You can't mm-hmm. force coming to that place.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what right. I realized. Like, you cannot say, well, now I'm just going to embrace the child for life. It's all good and fun. No, like, mm-hmm. I knew one day I'm just going to be in a, like, it's, you have to come into that place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you often hear, especially with women who are trying to conceive, you know, couples who are trying to conceive for a long time, then they sometimes did advice, well, just let it go. And then, you know, sometimes then the baby comes, you know. Mm-hmm. But that is, if you can't let it go, you can't let it go. Like, it's just not just someone to relax when they're tense.
Right.
It's, it does not work like that. Like, mm-hmm. you're gonna let go all of a sudden, maybe. And this I mean, that's how it was for me, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. and again, like, I want to pinpoint, every woman is so different and it's very complex. For me, it was, I always had this thing, it could go both ways for me. From, I would say, the early 20s, it could be that I have a family one day, but there was also another voice that was like, but maybe not. Yeah.
Right.
And there was always a purpose that I was kind of digging, like getting myself into and living all the way through. So I think that helped me keeping like this yearning of having a child. And when the child didn't happen, mm-hmm. for me, the grieving was probably less severe than it is can be in other women, because right. there was always already my other babies that I was nurturing and mm-hmm. caring for. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I had to go, you know, at some point around 40, you know, that, and it still hadn't happened for, let's say, 5 years of really calling in a child mm-hmm. on and off. It was like, we went on a sacred pilgrimage, you know, my husband and I, we were like the year, like the summer before, we were contemplating adoption. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that we are not the couple for adoption. It's just like, right. for that, I don't want it enough that I would
right.
be, because of all that it entails, and neither mm-hmm. my husband. So I had to own that too, to mm-hmm. myself. Yeah. And then, yeah, there was the question of, okay, do we want to go down IVF? And what else could we try more on the medical side? Because that was an avenue we didn't really tap into much. We did a lot of other things, but not so much that. And then we realized, again, it's not for us. It's just not for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then really, I mean, actually, thanks to my husband, he then was the one who stepped up and had the courage, because I think it takes courage mm-hmm. for him to do that. He then was like, okay, so I think now we really is also the point where we should really look the option that of the child-free life into the eye with all that entails, the fears mm-hmm. that come up, and have that now really as a viable option. Because before, there was always this like the hope, mm-hmm. yeah, well, maybe it's going to happen. Well, maybe it's going to happen. And then there was him saying that. And look, it took a bit of that. That was a pivotal point, because mm-hmm. I had to kind of to own that question too, to give that right. path a real chance. But then I was with it. And again, I fell into it. We fell into the conversations.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to friends, close friends, and right. what a journey, right? And we went to a sacred pilgrimage to a place where I always wanted to go, in France. And I was just like, and I went with that intention of really taking that question to this place.
Mm-hmm.
And in that place, I had an experience. I don't say mystical experience. I don't like, it was not supernatural in that sense, mm-hmm. but it was a very, very strong experience where I realized, okay, it's clear. Whether I may going to have a child and maybe not, I'm going to mm-hmm. create either way, as I have been doing. I will be mothering as I have been doing. And I have to, I got to let that, making space for a baby or focusing on the baby, really, it's no longer, I can put it aside, because it doesn't mm-hmm. matter. The baby is going to come if there is to be a baby, and
right.
but maybe it's not. And we are creating a lot of beautiful things moving forward, as we already mm-hmm. have. And that for me was and that's when things started to shift. Yeah. And then that's where I started to embrace more right. and more the child-free life. And, you know, mm-hmm. I'm still, I'm fertile. I'm still ovulating. I'm still,
right.
we're not taking contraceptive. I could still get pregnant, but this is not right. on the top of my mind mm-hmm. at all anymore. Wow. It's just, I'm just living our life. And yeah. And that's, but again, you cannot force that.
Right. Yeah. And that's yeah. something I realized, you can't force it.
No.
And it's interesting that you share where you came to that place was part of your process of that pilgrimage. Because when yes. I came to that place of, I'm okay being single and never having children, or I'm okay if I meet someone that's right for me and have children. When I came to that place was during my year of consecration. I took a year away from all the things that were pulling my attention that were good for others and not necessarily good for me. They were draining me. So I actually wrote an email and sent it out to all the people I was doing business partnerships with and events and teaching opportunities with, and let them know for the next year. And this was like September 2017, and I was going to go into a year of consecration until the following2008. Mm-hmm. No, I'm correct. Yes. And I sent it out, let them know I wasn't going to be taking part in any new opportunities, any new partnerships or anything, whatever we've already committed to, I'll finish those out. I wasn't going to do anything new. If it wasn't something that was going to keep my peace of mind and my stress level down, I wasn't doing it. So that's what I did. And that was when I came to that place of, if I never have children, I'm okay being single. I'll be happy and I'm okay. And if I meet someone and have children, I'm okay too. So I went through that process to get to that place. And I felt like I needed to pull back and take care of me and remove myself from all the things that were not for me and were just stressful and distracting. So it's interesting that you share that you did a pilgrimage and you got to that place. And I did a year of consecration and got to that place. So that's something important to look at, you know.
Yeah, and I think what you just say, giving it the, because it is such a big piece in a woman's life. You know, we go through these life cycles, and at some point, this question is gotta really be coming up, and it keeps coming up again and again, maybe. But then there's gonna be a window at some point, as if it hasn't happened, to become a mother where that question is just there. Yeah. And then, as we say, you can't force it, but you can give it attention in a way of how you did, like you give it, you create intentionally space to drop into that question and feel into that question. And that can mean for what you did, you know. It can mean going on a pilgrimage. It can mean joining a program, working with someone, but a place where you keep coming back to yourself, home to yourself, because you are the only one who should make that decision of what it is, of how to move on with this question. Right. And that's what I see in mothers and in child-free women, because I work with mothers, right? I've worked with mothers very closely these last 5 years. The mothers who are thriving in motherhood and, you know, and the women who are thriving as a child-free woman are the ones where this decision is coming, has been coming from a place from within them. Yeah. Right. Because there's no resentment. There's no... Right. Yeah, and I think especially these days, because unfortunately still we live in a place, you know, I think motherhood is not celebrated or valued in the way it should be. Like I know in America, you know, like there's really not a lot of infrastructure places in place that really supports the family and the mother, and even more so, like you need to know that. So you can really, when you become a mother, you can resource yourself in different ways. And I've heard you talk, I think it was the last podcast, about that, how important it is to be clear about your resources and your support system. Because it's a big job. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
To be a mother and maybe to have a business on the side or working, right? It's... Yeah, so we are not in a place yet where we are fully, where the system really fully supports families and women and mothers.
Ooh, this has been good. This has been good, and it's been helpful, and it's been inspiring, and it just warms my heart that you're out there doing this work to help women to come to this place, to drop into themselves and be able to make that powerful decision for themselves, you know, without it being forced. And I just, you know, appreciate all that you're doing out there to help women who have come to that place of being child-free and deciding and knowing that this is for them, you know, just in the same way that I knew that I was supposed to have children, but I wasn't going to force it. I was going to prepare and put myself in the place to receive when that time was ready. And that's what I did. So thank you for coming this evening on my time, because you're in Hong Kong, so it's morning for you, and sharing, you know, your wisdom and what you're doing out there to help women. I so appreciate you and honor you for, you know, stepping up and doing this and allowing women to know that you're here and your presence and you're willing to help. So if someone wanted to connect with you and get more information on the program that you're working on, how would they be able to do that?
Yeah, the best way is either, you know, they can follow me on Instagram, which is Corinne Conrad Calder, or they can obviously send me an email, you know, Corinne@rebelheartwoman.com. That's the name of my company. It's called Rebel Heart Woman. That's also the website, you know, www.rebelheartwoman.com. The program is not live there yet. We are working on that now. But, you know, the way I help women through all their journeys of transformation, the coaching, this is all there. Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful. Yes. Wonderful. So we'll also put Corinne's information in the show notes so you can click and connect with her, so she can support you on your journey to being child-free. So thank you again, Corinne, for being here and sharing your wisdom and your knowledge with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Kathy. It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. I want to invite you to join us for the 50 Days of Releasing and Letting Go in order to move forward membership. We go through activities that will shift how you think, which will shift how you show up empowered for your womb health. You're going to ask for support. You're going to stop saying yes to things you want to say no to. You're going to stop allowing yourself to be last on your list. I'm here to hold space for you because you hold space for so many people. I'm here to help you clear all the things that don't serve you. So I look forward to seeing you in the membership group.